Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, it's good to be in God's house, and I'm believing God wants to enlighten you today. I believe God wants to encourage you today. I believe God wants to bless you today. And I'm believing right now, just looking around, I'm believing that God wants to really touch your life like He's never touched it before. I'm from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I believe God wants to set you free. But only the Word of God, trusting in God, will set you free. Praise the Lord. Who's ready to hear the Word? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're writing a title down today, Interceding for the Nation. We got to understand to be praying for our nation is interceding for our nation. Now, people may think it's kind of strange to be praying for your nation, but God's Word tells us to do that. And interceding, I looked up what interceding means. And before I give a message, I'd like to know, what kind of words am I giving out? It's like you don't ever hear me say much French stuff that I can butcher because I don't know enough of it. I know just enough to get myself in trouble. But interceding means it's to intervene on behalf of another. And you know, you probably already knew that. But I just wanted to let you know, just in case you didn't know that. A matter of fact, I want you to look in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, and we'll go all the way to verse 4. 1 Timothy 2, 1, 4. And it says, therefore I exhort. Now let's stop again. There's another word. We may think we know what that word is, but do we really know what that word exhort means? An exhort means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something and have the sense of moving, pushing forward, exhorting. And that's what it says. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. In verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority. I'm going to say that one again. For kings and all who are in authority. This nation doesn't have a king, but we got people in authority that we may lead to a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. How many wants to lead a quiet and peaceable life? Yeah, but it tells us what we have to do. Pray for people in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And verse 3, for this is what? Good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's a mouthful right there. I would write that scripture down and I would put it somewhere and read it again and let the Spirit of God speak to you. Because in the following scriptures on intercessory prayer, notice the word first. Did you see that up there? It says, I exhort, and it says, first. It reminds me of some of this stuff I was putting together. First thing, go to that first diagram. Don't go to the fourth or fifth, because I tried that. I had to stop and go back to the first. Why? Because the first part, second part, connected to the first part. The fourth part connected to the first part. You see what I'm saying? That God put that in there for a reason. He says, first of all, that supplications. Okay, we looked at that word first in the scripture, and it was just, as we just read it right there. Things work when we follow directions. Has anybody in here ever put a swing set together? I'm talking about the metal kind, not them little plastic doodads they got now. I'm talking about one of them metal with a slide and that little seesaw looking thing goes back, and then some swings and iron chains, no plastic chains. If you miss a part in there, you got to go all the way back. And it reminds me of that commercial. You ever seen that commercial with that paper towel commercial? And they're putting that little coffee table together. And they said, oh, look here. And he hit it and it kind of wobbles to the side. Oh, no, what's these screws for? Something's left over. Now, you know and well that they don't put nothing extra anymore. You got it and you start putting it together and that little table wobbled there. And what happened? Their little cold drink went off and it was fixing to get on even the guy on the diagram. Ah! But you understand what I'm saying? That we got to follow instructions. Jesus, God has given us that right there. The first thing to do. First in the scriptures to do. Things work when we follow the directions, right? That we want to take the Bible literally and do exactly as it says. And it tells us first. First. First means first, right? If you're on another diagram, it may say A. And we all know that's the beginning of the alphabet. One or A. Start here. They don't tell you to start there, but it just shows you a bunch of pictures and it tells you to start. And a lot of times I let her read it. So what if it leans too far to the right? So what if it shakes? So what if the chain don't hang on there? Yeah, just one chain and the swings hang. She reads the directions and I read what she says. Now sometimes I may have to say, what'd you say? But yeah, but you know what I mean. You're following directions to try to put something together. And too many times we say we believe in prayer, don't we? Oh, everybody believes in prayer. And we let it go at that, right? And you could say also that you believe in driving a car. Right? You can do it. But you're not going to be able to do it until you get behind the wheel. Or, like they do, you take those tests, they give you a booklet to read. But you're still not going to know how to drive a car until you get behind the wheel. Crank it up. Put it in gear. Put a little gas to the pedal. And then, have your foot ready on the brake. Because I can remember Brittany. We had her back here one day. We were driving around. I said, let's let her drive back there. There ain't nothing she could run into. So we got out there in the middle of that property back here, and we let her drive. She sat right there. I don't even know how old she was. But she was little. She couldn't hardly see over the steering wheel. She sat right there. And I said, okay, crank it up. She cranks it up. She followed direction. First thing, crank it up. Well, she had a foot on the brake, but like I said, she cranked it up, foot on brake, put it in D. I didn't want to say drive because she probably didn't recognize it. She put it in D, and she took off. She slow went. I said, okay, turn your left blinker on and turn left. Put on your right blinker and turn right. And, and then come right here to a stop and put it in P. So she put it in P. Then I said, okay, that's good. Now let's go again. Let's put it in R. So she backed it up. And she didn't, I said, now you be looking behind you. Make sure nothing's coming. So she looked. And then all of a sudden, she put it in D. I said, let's go down, let's go all the way to the back. She put it in D. She was following instructions on how to do it. She did an awesome job. And I noticed that she's getting a little faster when she had a little bit more encouragement. She got a little bit more faster. you see what I'm saying? That you go by steps, one, two, three, and before you know it, I probably could have got out and just let her go all out there, but we didn't. But just because you say you can drive and do something, that you got to get behind the wheel and do it. But you understand that we need to follow God's word. And like I said, Paul said in that open scripture, I exhort first. Ain't that what he said? That's what the scripture said. I exhort first. Let's put first things first, right? Sometimes we let secondary stuff that we're praying for first, instead of first things first. So we need to understand that we neglect those things that needs to be first. What's first? Exhort. That makes it real easy. Exhort. You got to exhort. You got to exhort the Lord. In our spiritual life, we blame God for our failures. When things just don't go just right, God gave me this sickness. God made me sick. God made me sleep. I couldn't even go to church. He wouldn't wake me up. God made alarms. So can't blame God for everything. God just did this. God just don't love me. God loves you so much, he sent his son to the cross to die for us. And usually people are putting themselves first. Now, you may know some people out there. I know people in here don't do that, put themselves first. And even when it comes to praying, they put somebody else first, right? That's where we should be, exhorting the Lord, right? Giving him praise. And then what he wants us to do, pray for people in authority. Because I want you to see what God is saying to us about exhorting people in authority. Who are you talking about in authority? Well, you got your leaders up in Washington. You got your leaders in Baton Rouge. You got your leaders right here in Brobridge and St. Martinville. You got your leaders in Lafayette. You got your leaders in Honorville. You got your, you see what I'm saying? They're leaders everywhere. Praise the Lord. But he said to pray for that. And too many times, we're kind of like that dad. Because I remember one time we just had a little prayer deal a long time ago, and he'd come in there. He said, "Dad, pray for me, pray for my wife, pray for my son, and pray for his wife, and just us four and no more." That ain't praying for people in authority. You're putting yourself over what God's word is telling us, and then there, people wonder why my prayers don't get answered, because you forgot step one. How come this piece didn't get put together right? You forgot part one, step one. God wants us to put it in order that he has it to be done. He wants us to exhort first. And you know, like I said, people may not put it exactly like I just told you, but it's similar to what I'm saying. People just go, "Oh Lord, you know, I got this big test coming up, you know, this." Now, what's it say? Exhort the Lord. Exhort the leaders. Exhort first. Then you go along with your grades. And I tell you, I can tell you with no doubt in my heart what God, because I can remember one time, I said, "Man, if I don't pass this test, I'm not going to get out of school." And I know they don't want to see me here around anymore. They're ready for me to get out of high school. But I was praying, and we only had one test. It was called Americanism versus Communism. One test that whole 6 weeks. At the end of that, it was one big test. And I said, "Well," and I just started praising the Lord. He said, "In high school?" "Yeah." I mean, it don't. I started praising the Lord when I was eight years old. I got baptized at Redwood Baptist Church. Gave my heart to the Lord. And you know, and I just remembered that, and I remember just praising the Lord, and I was still living in Clinton, and then I just praised the Lord, and I just thanked him for that, and it's like he told me, he said, go see your teacher. Huh? That old lady? I mean, I was 17, 18 years old, and she looked like, I don't know. I think she taught my aunts, my mom's sisters that went to Clinton. I said, I can't go to that lady's house. He said, "Get up with her." So I got up with her and I told her, I said, "Miss G, I just want to come and see if you could help me with this test that we're fixing to have. I'm lacking on. I don't know what to do." And guess what? She said, "Come on over about this time." You know, time of the day, I went over there. And it was two or three other classmates that were there too, which was, whew. So it was worked out good for that. And then she just kind of went over and just said, "Y'all just making a mountain out of a molehill." I said, "That sounded pretty intelligent for a civics and history teacher." So I got rid of that mountain and went to the molehill. And I'll tell you, I just following God's instructions to do what he told me first, to go contact his teacher. But you know, after I exhorted the Lord, you know, I mean, it might not have been much. It might just, "Thank you, Lord. I thank you that I'm going to pass this test. At that age, I was, Lord, I'm just going to give it my best shot." You know, praise the Lord. And I'll see what happens from there. But he just said, "Go see Miss G." So I did. And I come out of there with a B. And I was so happy. You see what I'm saying about following instructions? following what the Lord tells you. And when we praise Him, He gives you the answers for the next step, then the next, and then the next. But He guided me that way. And if it worked for me at 18, 17, 18 years old, and I know it will work for you. And it still works today, because there's a lot of things I just don't know the answer. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I praise the Lord. I exhort Him. And I pray for our leaders. And that's hard to do. Whew. But you know, we have to do it. That's step one. Pray for our leaders, it said. And you know, we instead of praying for ourselves first, I want you to look back again at that verse 2. First Timothy. Look in 2:2. There you go. And it says, "For kings and all who are in authority." That's who we need to pray. First thing God says to do in His Word, pray for those people. Pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Whew, and all goodness and reverence. But I love that part right there where He tells us to pray for the kings and everyone that's in authority over us. And I'm talking not here. We have presidents we pray for. We have vice president. We got people in our legislature. Now, don't think that just because you're praying for them, they are in authority because they make the laws, right? They're making the laws. But they remember, they still work for us. But we still pray for them, no matter how bad, how bad. But you know, that means that we ought to pray for our government and for those who are in authority from the national level down to our local level. And I could hear your wheels turning all the way up here. That, what is he talking about? I mean, it's just hard to pray for that person that in authority because of what they do and what they how they legislate. How can they be so off? How can they not know what they're doing? I'm going to tell you that. Because Paul wrote this under the anointing of God's Spirit, right? 2 Timothy, in the words of 1 Timothy, are God's words. God is not going to tell us to pray for something He's not going to give us. Right? Now, think about this situation here. Now, would a father tell their child that I'm going to get you a doll for your birthday and then don't do it? God is a whole lot better than that if they didn't do it. But I can tell you one thing. I did that once. I forgot about it, really. I told about my son, and it was my son, about getting this if he would do that. And he did it, but I forgot about it. He reminded me. Just like we need to remind God of His Word. You know, I mean, God ain't going to forget. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to see us fellowshipping with Him. He wants us to speak to Him that, you know, God, you said in your Word that I am healed. Right? Didn't He say that in His Word? Remind Him, say, oh, Lord, you said I'm healed. You know what the doctor told me? You know, the doctor said this, but according to your word, I am healed. I want it. I want every bit and everything that you have for me, I want it. And I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And your word says I can have it, I can have it. You see what I'm saying? We go by His word. We exhort Him, and we're going to praise Him, and we're going to receive from Him. But we have to believe it. A lot of people, well, the word says that, but do you believe it? You know, a lot of people don't. They'll say all kinds of stuff, but they don't believe it. And that's where the difference comes. Because Jesus tells us, and you know, everything is possible for those who, what? Believe. All things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible. So what's that telling me? All things are possible for those who believe. And if you're a believer, you believe. That's pretty simple. That didn't take long. That wasn't even in my nose. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, God is going to give us what he has in his word. He doesn't go outside of his word. He's not going to give you any extra. He's going to give you what he says in his word. You know, a lot of people, boy, they want, well, all right, let's see what I can do here. Do I get any extra? Nope. This is what you get. God's word is going to, and I tell you what, a lot of people can't even handle what he gives us. Well, I'll just take a little bit of it today, a little bit of tomorrow. No, God's going to give it to you. But I tell you what, it says right here, if you can, God will bless you. And, you know, if you believe, he will give it to you. You can overcome all of this. But, you know, so many times, God wants to bless his people, but we're not following the steps, 1, 2, 3, right? And so many times there are conditions to be met in our prayer. As we said, number one, exhort. And you know, we have to understand that it's so easy to criticize. I have to repent all the time too, because criticizing your people in authority, criticizing what they do, criticizing, I mean, I've told you many times, I used to criticize leadership where I worked. And I mean, God had to, he woke me up, and I had to start praying for those leaders. Even though there was the nastiest taste in my mouth, but eventually I told God, God, you got to take this away. Forgive me for not talking bad about the leadership. Forgive me for talking about this. And I seen God open doors. And you probably can see, have the same thing, just thinking back when you praised God and you didn't complain about everything, God blessed you with it. Because it's so easy to criticize. And you probably hear people criticize all the time too. And you know, while they criticize, because they can't be praying for somebody when you're criticizing them, right? How can you criticize and say, oh, I'm praying for that leader, I'm praying for that. But you know what they did, them crooks? And in it, around election time, you can hear people criticizing. You can hear things going on about the nation. Can you imagine now if everybody would not criticize and put more into prayer for the people in authority, what kind of nation we would live in? You know, it would turn around. You know, you say, yeah, you just don't know. Yeah, I do know, because God's word says first, exhort, right? To exhort. And then he tells us to pray for people in authority so that you can live a what? Peaceable life. I don't know about you, but I like peaceable. You know, you think about it. The way things are going on around the world, you know, somebody said, well, things are going to change. Well, is that going to change if we don't change our prayer life? When we don't start praying for, like God says for us to pray, pray for that. And, you know, if somebody else is over there acting goofy, let him act goofy. Pray for them if they're in authority. You understand what I'm saying? That we need to understand that people in authority we need to pray for our nation. What's that do? It sets us free. We didn't pray for them. Now you got to believe it in your heart. You know, don't come back here later and say, well, I really don't want to pray for them people. No. Lord, they're in your hands. I pray for them to be successful. Even though they're not. No. You just say, Lord, I pray that they are successful and they'll do what they need to do. You think about it. You can pray for them, but you can't make them be successful. You know, that's their will to be unsuccessful. But we can pray and line up with God's word. And when the nation is praying for the leadership, that this thing will take place. God's going to move on our behalf. But not a little cell over here, a little cell over here, a little cell over here. Because it's too many people say that they're Christians, but they're not praying and using God's word, as we just read in 1 Timothy. That we need to understand that people are going to rub us the wrong way. Has anybody been rubbed? You're not raising your hand. Anybody been rubbed the wrong way in the last? No, that's okay. That's everybody. Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying, that we need to get into God's word and see what the first thing. He said, exhort. Pray for those in authority. Said that what? So that we can have a peaceable life. So it takes that. Even though, if you start watching a TV show and you hear that stuff coming back up again, say, oh, there's them goofy people on there talking about this or talking about that. Turn it off. Because you're falling into that trap that the devil knows he can get you in. Because you're not living peaceable. You know, I don't know about you. Peaceable is, unless, I know some people that are miserable when they're peaceable. Because ain't nothing happening. I don't like things to happen. I like to live peaceable. Let things just happen. Praise the Lord. But you know, it's easy to criticize, and I hear people criticize, and I know they're not praying for our leaders. So when we pray for others, we are not so apt to criticize them. You see, it makes a long story short. Praise the Lord. Exhort. Pray for the leaders. It's not very hard, is it? Even though some of them became a leader that you didn't think, but whatever. But praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. We want to live a peaceable life. We want to live a life, oh, yes, like we were when we were young. Girl, whole lot younger. Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying, that God wants to do some things in our life. Praise the Lord.